You're a podcast listener, and this is a podcast ad. Reach great listeners like yourself with podcast advertising from Lips and Ads. Choose from hundreds of top podcasts offering host endorsements, or run a reproduced ad like this one across thousands of shows to reach your target audience with Lips and Ads. Go to lipsandads.com now. That's LIBSYNads.com. You're a podcast listener, and this is a podcast ad. Reach great listeners like yourself with podcast advertising from Lips and Ads. Choose from hundreds of top podcasts offering host endorsements, or run a reproduced ad like this one across thousands of shows to reach your target audience with Lips and Ads. Go to lipsandads.com now. That's LIBSYNads.com.
Welcome into half of Doak Campbell Stadium.
Yeah, half.
Where we just covered the Florida State Spring Showcase for 2024. Irish show phone Corey Clark from WarChant.com. This is your WarChant wrap. And this was an interesting spring showcase. First of all, like we said, half the stadium is maybe as I'll show some clips of the erector set being deconstructed for I guess fall of 2025.
It looks apocalyptic.
It does look like there's been some tough times.
It's like a video
here.
Game where there's zombies inside.
But Florida State still did their spring showcase and still had about 18,000 fans, I think is what they said, came in, which is good to see. And Mike Norvell was appreciative of that. I think Corey wrote about it in his column, and I think he pretty much summed it up well. This is kind of what we saw all spring. A lot of competition, some really good, some not so good. But some promise for the fall of 2024.
Yeah, and I think you got to start with the quarterback. I mean, that's what everybody wanted to see. You'd like to see the other two that were hurt, the other two scholarship quarterbacks, I mean. But, yeah, you start with DJ, and I thought DJ was okay. He made the one problem I had, look, 14 to 29 isn't great. He had a couple of drops, and he also had some throwaways and some, you know, just things weren't open. That's going to happen. And I think in a game when things aren't open,
He can make something happen.
He couldn't do that today. Why would he? He's in a non-contact jersey. But the thing I didn't like, we'll get that out of the way, he did put the ball in jeopardy a little too much. He didn't throw an interception, but legitimately three of them could have been intercepted.
As Marvin Jones,
well, just getting that out of the way so I can do the positive. Right. Marvin Jones talked about afterwards that he got hit with a ball in the face. DJ Lundy would have had a pick, but instead he stood up and did the incomplete sign when the ball landed at his feet. And there was it Azariah that had one that he could have made too. Yeah. Other than that, he also showed what he can do. Even though he wasn't really a running threat, because quarterbacks aren't running threats in these things, he showed, I think, that on those keepers, he's going to get you 4, 5, 6, 8, 12. He had a 10, 12-yard run. He's going to – I think he can churn out some first downs with his legs when things aren't there. He's going to be able to buy some time, too. And then the throw to Malik Benson on the sideline, that's a great throw. I thought maybe his best throw was the one to Darian Williamson, which I think he dropped. But that was a rifle shot in the middle of the end zone. So there's some promise there for sure. And it's what we've seen all spring, really.
Yeah, and it was broken up. When you watch the replay, it was a good pass.
There you go. Then
up.
Edwin Joseph. Yeah. I like the do the incomplete sign then, my man.
But I would say this about two of those plays that could have been interceptions. They were really good defensive plays. Like
but
DJ Lundy had great coverage, which, again, that was one of the big question marks about this linebacking core was could they cover? And DJ Lundy particularly, we know he could be a thumper, but could he cover in space? He had really good coverage on that play. And then Marvin Jones, I mean, he drops, you know, it's tough to get too mad at the quarterback on that. There's no way he expected Marvin Jones to drop back into that.
And then read it like a safety.
Right.
Like that, he didn't even run. So if you watch that replay, guys, if you saw it, Marvin Jones is acting like he's going to rush. He's standing up. As soon as the ball snapped, he drops back into zone coverage and then, like, immediately reads the eyes and sprints
to
his
right.
Looked
like a DB almost.
Yeah, it was a really remarkable play. And I thought he had a stretch. Yeah. Marvin Jones, let's stay on, again, the positive. Yeah. There was a stretch where he made two straight running plays. I thought he pressured DJ into a bad throw. Might have hit his hand. And then that play, that was all within like seven plays. Yeah. And then the one where he almost had the interception. He could be a real issue for opposing offenses, I think.
Yeah, and today was a day where you didn't get to see a ton of Patrick Payton. Josh Farmer didn't play. So you're not even seeing that defensive line at full force, which I think is a good sign because that could be a really good defensive line. And the running game sprung some runs as they've done all spring. Roydell Williams had a 30-yard touchdown run.
Another nice play by DJ holding that ball as long as he did. That's a good play.
No, he did. And I'll come back to the running game, but that's a good point. He's got some savvy about him.
Yeah.
That, like, on the play where there's defense, the defense was offsides.
Yeah.
He recognizes it. Throws up a perfect ball to let the receiver go, have a chance to make a play on that.
And draws pass interference.
Yeah, and exactly. That's not something that you necessarily learn. I mean, it's just something he's played a lot of college football, and you see that savviness. But back to the running game, Keziah Holmes had a 20-yard touchdown run. Lawrence Toffoli didn't carry the ball much, but we know what Lawrence Toffoli is.
Yes, good.
And this was similar to kind of what we've seen from this backfield all spring. there's not one guy that you'd say, okay, that's the guy. But they have a lot of running backs who
they do.
Can do different things. Jalen Lucas had a couple of moments as well. A couple of tough moments, put the ball on the ground. But you see the speed, obviously.
Also, Conrad Hussey, let go of my man when he's when he's going in the sidelines. That's your teammate, dog. I wish he'd hold. I mean, and only mainly because, well, I mean, you should probably be nice to your teammates. But Jalen Lucas, I think it's going to be.
You don't have a lot of Jalen Lucas's.
Yes, yeah. Keep him upright and healthy. But yeah, I thought I thought Jalen showed off his speed, even though he didn't hit a huge play. You see what we've been talking about. That is just a different level of speed. He is not going to be a 20 carry a game guy, but he'll have. He should have 12 touches, 8 touches in some games, 12 in others. I think he's – what's going – oh, is it just water – but the wind blowing the water bottles down? Or
the wind kicked up on us a little bit.
Oh, it did. It did. It's rolling some trash down towards us. But yeah, I thought the running game looked like it kind of has looked all spring. I think the running game is going to be vastly improved. Even losing a great back like Trey Benson, I think the running game will be much improved.
Well, it just speaks to how much of the running game is not just the running backs. It's the offensive line, the tight ends.
The quarterback.
The receivers, the quarterback. And like you said, DJ did a really good job of that. He was with a very run-heavy team last year at Oregon State. So, again, I think he's comfortable with that. And you saw him with that the way he hung on to that that zone read so well.
He also made a really nice read. I don't know if it was a design play, but he faked a bubble screen that they might he might have seen, oh, that's about to get intercepted, and just tuck off running. He was credited for 10 yards, but no safety is going to tackle him with a full head of steam. So that could have been a long, long touchdown, or a long play anyway.
The other, I guess, issue for the offense is, you know, you had a couple injuries, but the big one is Malik Benson. Malik Benson, you got a couple of signs of what he can be. We've seen him all spring really come on, and the Alabama transfer has been, you know, probably their best receiver. He is expected to probably
especially
be their best
receiver. Especially here the second half, right, of the spring.
He's really come on, and he's, you know, and showed some signs today, had a couple of really nice plays. Then he goes down with a foot or ankle injury. We really don't know. Mike Norvell. Who's not always the most forthcoming with injuries.
Not always.
Sometimes. But he said today that they still don't know much. He said there was nothing. He didn't speak specifically about Malik. There were a couple other guys that went down with minor injuries too. He said nothing looked extensive. So we'll take that as good news. They'll be further evaluated. But that's the one that I think a lot of people on Twitter were basically saying, let's shut down the scrimmage right now.
Right.
Once Malik
because, look, he is a big deal. And that the catch he had, those 28 yards down the sideline against Cypress, really good catch,
great
body control, get his feet down in bounds. And then I thought the play on that drive that he got hurt, where it's a little slant to him where he gets inside Kevin Knowles, and because Kevin Knowles is wearing a non-contact jersey, the fact that he kind of shouldered him a little bit, they whistled it dead. Kevin Knowles ain't making that play, and Benson might have housed it. I would have really liked to have seen what happened on that play if they hadn't whistled it dead. But, yes, I think the good news is, even if it is something that's not great, if it's more than a sprain or if it's more than just a couple of weeks, well, you got 4 months.
Right.
So hopefully in 4 months he'll be ready for Dublin because, yes, I think he did establish himself, and I thought Norvell even said as much.
Right.
That he established himself as one of the best players on the – well, he did exactly say that. He didn't kind of say that. He absolutely did say it. That Benson had become one of the best players on the offense. So, you know, the fact that he's still talking about him in the present tense as being one of the best players on the offense hopefully is a good sign.
We're holding on to that.
By the way, I keep going with the left and the right. You just hold it in the left the whole time?
I'm just
– microphone for the people listening on the podcast.
Corey stepped up. Times are good at War Chant, guys.
Man, we got two
mics,
baby.
We have two microphones now.
I'm not wearing that stupid thing on my collar anymore. I got a real microphone.
Defensively, you know, again, I think I irritated Marvin Jones Jr. asking about the running game hitting some plays. But that's really – they've been doing that all spring. The defense will make play after play after play, but something will spit out and they'll give up a 30- or 40-yard run. And that is one thing I do want to see about this defense in the fall and preseason camp is last year's defense was really good about not giving up busted plays or big plays.
Right.
You got a lot of new faces on this defense, and you just want to make sure that that's not a thing. I mean,
you
want to give credit to the offense for hitting them, but you also want to make sure you're not giving those up on defense.
Yeah, and it's that weird catch 22 of I don't even know if that's the right phrase for this, but like if you're not stopping the run all that well, at least it's your own team that's doing it to you. Maybe you can stop Georgia Tech and Clemson and North Carolina and all those teams. You hope that Florida State is going to be running at a level that you don't see from any other teams. I thought Roy Dell Williams looked really good.
He did.
I think the front line of the defensive line is good.
Especially when you get Josh Farmer back.
Yes, I think it could be special, perhaps, even. I just wonder, maybe there might be another body that's added in the next week to 10 days.
Right.
I feel like there might be a need for that at either the edge or the interior. I do think there might be a need for that. And I thought that was, again – not confirmed, but that worry of mine that they're maybe not as they don't have as much depth up front as you'd like wasn't assuaged by what happened
Good
here
word.
in our great showcase.
Good word.
Thanks, buddy.
The other thing I liked about the running game was a lot of those yards were, you know, physical runs.
Like
they broke some tackles.
Yeah. Kaziah ran over Shaheem, right?
He did, which we love you, Shaheem. We know that's never going to happen again.
Right.
But
right.
That was a nice play by Kaziah. One other thing I thought was really cool talking to the players about was they did have the several players from the 1999 team back this weekend. They also had several other alumni who were here as well. And it was cool to hear some of the players talk about what it means to them and the kind of the reminder of how important it is. I think it was Azaria and Marvin said that it's a reminder of that you're not just playing for yourself. It was Marvin, I think. You're not just playing for yourself. You're playing for all those guys that built Florida State football. And, again, like, these weekends are big. And Mike Norvell has done a really good job of bringing those guys back and involving them in the program. And I think it means something to these current players.
It's really smart of Norvell to do it. It's really smart to make those former players feel like a part of the current program because those were the glory days. Those were the dynasty days. And you do want this program to get back to where that program was. And maybe it is. I mean, it just went 13-0. Again, we don't say 13-1 on War Chant. So it did just go 13-0. So you want to establish that this program is one of the best in the country. It's a really cool through line kind of connection to the past to have these. Look, man, none of the players here have ever heard of Travis Minor. They probably don't know who Tommy Polly is. But when you hear, okay, they played in the league for 6-7 years, they won a national championship, they almost won another one. I just think that's a great connection to make with these players.
Last thing, and I don't want to finish on a negative. While you're talking, Corey, I'm going to try to think of a positive to wind us up on.
Okay.
But we do need to talk about the receivers dropping passes because it has been a problem for parts of the whole spring.
Yeah.
It happened again today. I don't know, man. We talked about Malik Benson being really good, but that receiving core, Mike Norvell said it afterwards. He's like, they've got to become more consistent. How do you do that?
I just keep the jugs going. Keep throwing it at them, man. Keep throwing it at them until you can't drop it. Practice doing it right until you can't do it wrong. A great man once said that. But look, man, you look at it. I thought Williamson, let's say it wasn't a drop. Go make that catch. You're one-on-one with a DB, and you're inside
him. It was broken up.
But you let it get broken up.
Yeah, I was going to say, he could have used his body better.
Yeah. So, and the Portier drop was I'm glad that he came back and made a nice catch down the sideline on a kind of a comeback route. And he made it, and that was like a 25, 30-yard game.
That would have been about a 40.
But I think there's a chance, because the way the play was designed, it was Portier and another receiver, two-on-one on that side of the field with nobody else there. That literally could have been a 70-yard touchdown. Just catch the ball. Again, though, it was a spring showcase.
Yeah.
It wasn't even a fall showcase. It wasn't even. We don't call them games anymore, do we, in the fall? They're all showcases.
No, they're all showcases.
They got a 12 showcase schedule this year. But I think that you look at this receiver core. You hope Benson's okay. We all know about Destin Hill, but all of a sudden we don't know who's going to be in the portal come tomorrow or Monday. I can't imagine all the guys that were on the field today will still be on this roster in June. So then all of a sudden a position that had 15 guys, yeah, all right, what's going on? You know, that might be another thing. If there's a guy out there, you might think about, because we just didn't see the receiving core as a whole maybe put on, and I'm not just talking about today, I'm talking about the whole spring. We didn't see enough out of it to think, okay, that they're fine. Right, I just think they could be. We got 4 months for them
to
get better.
They definitely have speed, and Mike Norvell said that. I like the skill, but there needs to be more consistency.
Yeah.
I think that was the story of the spring for them. My last positive note: special teams. Got to see Ryan Fitzgerald kick a couple field goals. I would have liked to have seen him. They should have done like a slam dunk competition. Just have him kick like 55-yarders.
That would have been awesome. I also would have liked,
because he's got a much.
Yes,
he
does.
Talked about it on Wake Up Board Chain. He's got a much stronger leg, but he didn't really get to show that. Mastromano boomed a couple punts.
Yeah, he had a 57-yarder. Out of the end zone, yeah.
And, you know, I think Malik Benson's going to be a weapon at punt return. I think Jalen Lucas at kickoff returns. This special teams, it was good last year, but I think it could be really special again.
Yeah, I agree. And then also, I think instead of this, you want to see Fitzgerald. It would be cool to have him start at like the 40 and just keep kicking. Keep kicking kicks till he gets to 60 in a showcase, because we're showcasing talent here.
We're showcasing.
I also would have liked to seen DJ from the goal line just to see how far he could throw it.
Corey did ask him.
Yeah, I did.
Yeah.
So I asked DJ, what yard line do they have to be? Because they had a Hail Mary at the end of the regular session, but not with him. I wondered what he thought the yard line would be. The offense would have to be where he could get, where he'd be able to throw a Hail Mary into the end zone. He said to be safe the 40, but he knows he could throw it 70 yards.
Yeah.
I'm like, buddy, if they're playing Clemson here, and it's 28-28.
At the 33.
With 3 seconds left, and the ball's at your own 34-yard line. Yeah. You're throwing a Hail Mary.
Right.
And I bet he throws it 75 yards in the air. Cordell Stewart did it 30 years ago. Think about the improvements we made in technology since then.
He's a big boy. And,
he is. Man,
he's got
and,
a big arm.
But, yeah, and I do wish he gotten to show it off more with, like, a couple of, like, really deep throws. But, yeah, again, going back to DJ as a whole, not great, not awful. You hope he just continues to get better, and he has, like Aslan asked him afterwards, to be the best person, the best player he's been in his career. If he can do that this year, then this team, who knows what this team can do?
We'll know in about 4 or 5 months when we go out
right.
to Dublin, Ireland.
Dublin, Ireland. That's the next time you'll see these smiling faces.
But stay connected to warchant.com. We've got plenty of coverage. Corey's column is already up on the website. Mm. We'll have plenty of coverage coming over the next few days. Recruiting's kicking into high gear again. The transfer portal's kicking into high gear.
Yeah, yeah.
Corey's juggling. Mm. Aslan's working behind the scenes. So stay tuned to warchant.com, warchant.tv, and we'll talk to you next time.
I'm going to drop the mic.
Maybe from Dublin next time.